Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What I want to ask you about is any new light that can be shed, because I know you had the story on the PG yesterday at just after 6 on this Keone Kellis suspension, because, frankly, we heard all about, like, you know, the personality could be a little volcanic in Texas. There were the connections to not-so-savory groups of people when he was in L.A., anything new to report on him coming right off the injured list and right onto the suspended list?
No, sadly, Chris, there's not. And maybe in there not being a ton to report, I think it probably tells us about the severity of this situation. I don't think this is the type of thing that the Pirates want getting out there, clearly. I think it will get out there. But, you know, whether this is a condemnation of Keone Kellis' character, I don't think that's the case here. I mean, I don't think he did anything egregiously wrong. You know, was there probably a disagreement of some sort with somebody? Yeah. I mean, that's about what this speaks to. That would be my sort of interpretation or expectation of this. But, you know, did Keone Kellis chase somebody around with a baseball bat? No, I don't think that's what we're looking at here.
Do you think that anything that has happened with him, you don't blame a guy for being injured, but do you think that this suspension maybe makes the trade look more specious in the rearview mirror, the decision to make it? It certainly didn't cost them what Chris Archer did. But this guy hasn't pitched that much, and now it's this. And this isn't going to sit well with fans, I guess, is the other thing, too. They're going to kind of be grumbling, like, what could he have possibly done coming off the injured list?
Yeah, and the one thing, too, that I guess I can, if I'm a fan, I'd get riled up over is, like, last night's ballgame was absolutely one where they needed Keone Kellis. You know, it would have been a little easier to take if, like, the Pirates won 9-1 or something like that. But they obviously could have used him in there. That being said, Chris, I'm not going to sit here and crush the guy over missing two games. Like, I think he deserves criticism if he comes back and pitches like crap. I think he, you know, deserves criticism if he can't get healthy. And the Pirates deserve criticism if he can't get healthy. But, you know, maybe they got damaged goods. I don't know. But I would much rather focus on how much of a contributor he is to the bullpen. He needs to be one. And then if he's not, I'm just fine criticizing the deal. But I don't think the two-game suspension is that big a deal. It's not like we're talking about 25 here. I mean, I'm sure he made a mistake and did something stupid, but it's two games.
Well, it was one game last night. But, man, on the heels of Sunday's game going the way it did with the Pirates having a chance to win and not getting it done, and then yesterday's game, I don't know. It felt like in that one moment, and I opened the show, Jason, this way, I said the Cardinals expect to win, and that's why they have Paul Goldschmidt. The Pirates hope to win, and that's why Clay Holmes was on the mound, among other reasons, because apparently Felipe Vasquez was not good to go after throwing 35 pitches this weekend. It felt like that was sort of the unofficial end of things there, because they're still 7.5 out in the division because Chicago lost, but you look at who they have to leap there, you look at who they have to leap in the wild card, it does not feel like a run is in the offing for these guys.
No, I agree with you. It's kind of a funeralistic. I don't know if that's a word or I just made one
funerary
up. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that's the kind of feel that last night had to it. I mean, you kind of put it all out there, right? Like, you make that comeback in the bottom of the 10th inning, and you get that close, and then it's just taken away from you, and, you know, regardless of whether Newman was out or safe. And, you know, that one stung a little bit more. A lot of guys talked about that after the game. The Vasquez thing, just to go back to your earlier point, I don't understand it, Chris. You know, I understand that move in April or May. I don't understand it now when your playoff chances are hanging on by a very thin thread. And you got to pitch 3 days in a row. It's been done before. His arm's not going to fall off. They're, you know, just like the Josh Bell thing, right? Like, you needed to win a game, win a series in St. Louis, and they sit him. And, you know, I would have rather have seen that day off bundled with the Phillies series than I would have in a series against an NL Central rival that you need to beat. And it's just some of their handling of this stuff out of the All-Star break, you know, using Michael Feliz, the first reliever out of the pen after the break, you know, going with Feliz and not letting Liriano finish his business in the day game. against the Cardinals. Just some decisions here that have been a kind of head scratchers.
Pirates insider Jason Mackey joining us on the PM team. Is the decision not to go with Vasquez last night, am I being reductive? Or am I looking for a fire that isn't there to say that it's maybe not all Clint Hurdles? Or do you think that's one that the manager's making unilaterally?
Well, I went up to Vasquez after the game, and I said, Felipe, was this a Clint decision or was this a you decision? He said it was both of us. And he said, you know, they wanted to give me a day off, and I had pitched, you know, 2 days and day game after night game, I think he said, and, you know, he was fine with getting the day off. So, I mean, if you're the player, you need to insist on pitching, and then if somebody asks you about it, you need to say, no, I wanted to pitch, and this guy said I wasn't allowed to pitch, and then the message gets sent the right way. So, I mean, I think it was mutual, and we can sit here and disagree with it, and I disagree with it. I'm sure you do too, but I, you know, I can't. I'm not going to put it all on Clint Hurdle. I'm not going to put it all on Vasquez. Like, it's just a subscription to this rest and recovery program that I think makes a bunch of sense at certain points in the year, just not when you're hanging on as desperately as the Pirates are right now.
Well, I was more getting at, is it the GM? And I know maybe it's his overarching philosophy about rest and recovery, but is it the GM maybe being involved, you know, on some level where they don't feel it's necessary to name the or to state overtly that he's involved, but he's always in the background of these decisions?
I don't think so. That's not the sense I get being around this thing, that Huntington's like going into Hurdle's office and saying, hey, you know, you need to have Vasquez down, and Hurdle's fighting with him or something. Like, I think Hurdle subscribes to it just as much as anybody.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because you could make a case one way or the other, either for pitching him last night to try to showcase him, because say you're already of the mind, if you're Neil Huntington, even if you're not saying it, because I know he was quoted as saying, we're not going to like slam the phone down if people make offers for Vasquez and overtures, but he said, I think the words were, I envision him closing out playoff games at PNC Park, either if not this year, then in the years to come. But I could make a case either way that he either wants to showcase the guy or he wants to make sure that his best asset, if he is in fact going to be a seller, is preserved as much as is reasonable to do so before said trade deadline gets here.
I mean, I understand where you're going with that. But at the same time, if I'm the Dodgers, you know, just to use a real team here, yeah, and I see Felipe Vasquez come in the 10th inning of that game, and let's say he gives up a run or something like that, is that going to change your mind on who Felipe Vasquez is? Like, they're not using him, you know, they're not sitting him to try to preserve his trade value. His trade value is there. It's good. You know, he's one of the best relievers in all of baseball. If he was great last night or he sucked. I just think that there's this, you know, dedicated adherence to guys can't pitch 3 days in a row, and this is just the way things are, and this is what we believe, and we're not going to pivot from it. And I think it's fair to criticize them for not pivoting from it, but that's their reasoning, you know?
Jason, do you get the sense that this team is going to be a considerable seller, a marginal seller, or a stand mostly pat team as the deadline approaches? And I say that understanding, hey, they could rip off a bunch of wins in a row, but it just feels overwhelmingly unlikely as we sit here chatting now that they're going to do so. What do you think the tack is from Neil Huntington at this deadline?
I think the tack is to be I think moderate seller was one of your options.
Yes, I did give you that. Yes, that it was the medium bowl of porridge.
I'll take the medium bowl then, man. No, I mean, Neil Huntington, I think, is going to be involved in a lot of conversations, as he should be. And he's on record of saying that. He has some assets out there that I think people may want. You know, Corey Dickerson, Melky Cabrera, Francisco Liriano. Are those guys going to net gigantic return? Probably not. I think he would be dumb to not listen on Starling Marte and Felipe Vasquez. It's just you also have to weigh, what am I going to get versus what this guy might do next year and beyond. And I don't think they're going to get a commensurate return with Marte. I'd ultimately keep him. No, they're going to lose. You know, there's no way Dickerson is back, in my opinion, and same for Cabrera and probably not Liriano. So at that point, if you know you're not going to have a chance at keeping a guy, you might as well get something, in my opinion, and if you're insulated against it. And Cabrera and Dickerson basically come down to me. Is Polanco okay? We should be getting some news here on him whenever the clubhouse opens in a few minutes, so we should know more then. If he's okay, I'm okay letting one of them go. If Polanco experiences issues, the return darn well better be good for me to move one of them, because somebody's got to play the outfield. Somebody's got to be reasonable out there, and I'm not sure they have the guys in AAA to call up and throw out there and get anything from them.
Jason, Can you just describe for me the mindset in this team? You've been around them, obviously. From before the All-Star break, they get in there at 44-45. They're 2.5 games out of first place, till what you were witnessing after last night's game. Because I go on vacation, and here's what I said yesterday on the air. I actually snuck looks at the app to see what they were doing, what the score was, and I had gotten emotionally invested a little bit in, like a true fan. No skin in the game business-wise, or I don't do this for a living. And I got bummed out with every progressive, you know, successive loss after the All-Star break. Has it been a drastic, noticeable change in the sort of aura around these guys?
Yes, there has been. And you know, I would start off with that Sunday afternoon game that they won right before the break. Reynolds had a big day, and I remember just, you know, there was a swagger in there. And I haven't been on this beat for multiple years. Obviously, I got on it mid-May, but, I mean, there was a swagger in there that I had not seen. And, frankly, it was kind of cool to see it. I had been used to seeing something like that from the Penguins. And I go, you know, we All-Star break and Josh Bell and all that stuff, and, you know, we come back, and I don't know why. It just never returned. I think a lot of people are looking for those answers. And if you contrast the scene last night with that Sunday afternoon game I was talking about, it's just night and day, man. It's shell-shocked. Like, we can't believe this has happened. Looking for answers. And it's their offense has just gone missing. They've actually gotten decent starting pitching. Their bullpen has been, you know, it's either been really, really good, like it was for four innings last night, or you make a key mistake, like Clay Holmes did, just having a wretched inning. But, you know, just parts of their game, and I wrote this in my game, sort of just kind of jiggled loose on them. Not hitting, some weird timed failures, and it's just, you know, guys kind of can't wrap their head around why this has happened. I'm not sure I can either, Chris.
All right, I want to circle back, Jason, to finish up here, to something that we alluded to Neil Huntington saying this past Sunday about Vasquez and about envisioning him, you know, closing out playoff games at PNC Park in either this year, which again, ship sailed, or years to come. The idea of the years to come part there is that you feel, if you're the GM, like you've got more than just a few building blocks for the future, that the 2020-2021 Pirates should be a problem for teams. When you look up and down the roster, because I've tried to get into this little exercise today, when I look at that roster, when I look at what's coming, when I look at, like, Mitch Keller and Cabrian Hayes should be, like, is pretty much your next wave. I'm not sure I see, like, anything even close to resembling a slam dunk contender in the making here, like a team that is on the rise that you know is going to be good. Again, you covered the Penguins a lot. I'll use the old 07-08 Penguins, where everybody knew that they were going to make the playoffs and they got bounced. I'm sorry, the 06-07 Penguins. They got bounced once they got there, but everyone knew what was coming down the train tracks with those guys. Do you sense that with this team at all, that they have multiple really good cornerstone pieces in place?
I mean, I'm not going to compare them to, you know, the out-of-nowhere Penguins. I shouldn't even say out-of-nowhere, but, I mean, you're talking about...
That was a bunch of building superstars, and you knew once they came of age it was going to be trouble for the rest of the league, is what I mean.
Right. I mean, we're not there with the Pirates. Absolutely not. But do I think that they have a reasonable, good young core that you can build around? Yeah, absolutely. You're telling me I can have a lineup, and yeah, we'd all rather have the Dodgers lineup or the Red Sox lineup, something like that. I get it. But right now, the way they're constituted, you have, you know, Bell, Newman, you can bring Cole Tucker up. Colin Moran has made some great strides. Adam Frazier can hit the ball. Keep Starling Marte around for a couple more years. I think you need to supplement in the outfield. Cabrian Hayes, like you said, you've got a couple of young arms you can supplement. Like, there's enough here that people should be encouraged by it. I agree with that. Now, I do think they have to go out and address their starting pitching. I would like to see them get one more. Maybe address their bullpen. Maybe go get one more there. I think they could have a potential issue in the outfield if Gregory Polanco is not healthy. They lose Dickerson and Cabrera. You need somebody else to play with Reynolds and Marte. But is this team, you know, seismically off of where it should be? No, I don't think they are. And I think they can contend for the division like this in a couple years if they make the right moves to this group between now and then.
Jason, it was a pleasure. Thank you. I'm going back now to try to restore sanity.
All right. Take care, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider, right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.